Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
All right, church. Good morning. How are you? Good to see each and every one of you this morning. And we are starting a new series today. And it may be a familiar topic to some, but I found that the more we reiterate certain things, the more we start to get them. And the more that they start to actually penetrate and pierce our hearts. And we desire as a church, both here at our Rocky Mount campus as well as our campus in Wilson, is to be a church that's really known for community. That we're really known to be the kind of church where people actually get along. Isn't that crazy? That's the kind of church we want to be, where there's very little rumors and gossip. You can't prevent it entirely because, you know what I found? People are broken and people come to church. So that will happen. It might happen. But we want to be the kind of community, the community that shares certain things in common and that they encourage one another. They grow together. It's why we do things like community groups through the week. It's why we do church. Do y'all understand? I mean, your relationship with Christ is between you and Him. But we do church so that we can have authentic community, so that we can encourage each other and have what the Bible calls fellowship. That's a word we know even now. We use it in various ways, but it's truly a biblical word that we would have the kind of family that really you may have not even had with your real family. And that's what's unique about Christianity, I think, is that we've been called to be a part of something bigger than just blood. In fact, it's surrounded by the blood of Jesus, rather, and not the blood that we were born into. And so that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks. And I hope, I pray that you get something out of this. It charges you, it stirs you up maybe to do some things that you haven't wanted to do. Some of us in the room, there's some introverts in the room like myself that maybe they don't necessarily want to be a part of community. You're maybe hesitant to even come to church, and I'm glad you're here. But I hope that this message kind of stirs you up and makes you realize, you know what, there's value in the fellowship of believers. And I think that's what we'll find this morning as we move forward. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I know. We all have a need for community. Whether we want to admit to that or not, we all have a need. Certainly we have a need for friendship. Isolation will eventually kill you. This is just a fact. If you look at studies on the topic, isolation will eventually destroy you. This is what causes people to have a lot of various psychological issues, is long periods of feeling, maybe they're not truly isolated, but they feel that way. They feel like no one's with them. They don't have friends. So even if you're tough and you've walked in the room today and you're like, I don't need people, you're lying to yourself. The truth is you do. But maybe it is you feel that way because you do have some strong friendships. You do have people in your life that you don't recognize how much they're keeping you afloat. But we look all over the place for community, and what we typically find outside of church is what some psychologists call pseudo-communities, right? Communities that make you feel like you're a part of something, but when you really dig in, you're not really a part of anything. It's just a group of people getting together doing this one thing, but outside of that, they have nothing in common. Here's a couple of thoughts, and I'll pop up a few images to help you here. One community that people really get passionate about is, are you the elephant or are you the donkey, right? You can pop that up. Which side are you on? People get fired up about this, and they think, we share everything in common, but what I've noticed, okay, sure, I'm a Republican, that's fine. You might be a Democrat, cool, because we have a common denominator called Christ when we're in this place, so that doesn't bother me, but some people, they can't associate with anyone that's of the donkey or of the elephant, right? And so that's a pseudo-community. When you dig in a little deeper, you find out, wait a minute, we're not as alike as I thought. Yeah, you think politically maybe like me, but there's other communities too. Maybe you have a certain favorite color of blue. Maybe you like more of a dark blue, like this guy. I'm not a big fan of that color blue, personally. I'm more of a fan of this color blue. I like this color blue. This blue makes me happy. But hey, this is a pseudo community. You might go to one of these games and you're passionate. You might dye your face and get into it. But if you actually went out to coffee with the guy next to you, you'd find out you're very little alike, other than that you like Duke blue or Carolina light blue. That's what you might find. There's other pseudo communities like this one. You might like tomato-based barbecue, right? If you're from a northern place or from maybe other places in the U.S., you might like tomato-based. Around here, we do vinegar-based, right? That's what we like. Now, there's this other type, and you could pop this other type up. This really, to me, isn't even barbecue. Pop that third image up. It's mustard-based. If that's what you grew up with, I'm just going to let you know that's not barbecue. That is actually an abomination, is what that is. But that might be what you grew up with. Out in Texas, they got brisket. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Brisket's legit. I could live out there. Maybe it's based on your regional accent. Some of you think I talk really funny, and I do. I do, but around here, I'm normal. So you're welcome to the South. Maybe you're familiar. You can pop this image up. Maybe you're familiar with you guys. We say y'all down here. Pop the next image up, though. I found there's this one little tight-knit group of people that says yous guys. I'm confused by those people. If that's you, I don't know where you came up with that. It's you guys or y'all. Yous guys, you're trying to mix it up. You're scaring me. We find these pseudo-communities, right? We find places we belong. Maybe none of those were you. But maybe for you, it's I'm athletic. I like to go out and play sports with people. I like to get online and play games with people. I have a pseudo-community there. It makes me feel at home. But I just want to get into something that I think will help us, because underneath all that, we're not really bonding. We're not really finding true fellowship, and we're starving our souls, right? We're starving ourselves with this. Scott Peck is a doctor writing on the issue, and he says this: where participants are nice with each other and playing safe, one has merely a pseudo-community. In this setting, people present only the most favorable sides of their personalities. When people move beyond this inauthenticity and present their true selves, admitting their own brokenness common to all human beings, they approach true community. Here the individual experiences deep respect for self and others in the community. This is a glorious place that fulfills the yearning of every human soul for understanding from one's fellows. This is a psychologist writing on the topic. It sounds spiritual to me. It sounds to me like Christian community. Because here's what's different about Christ and us. We get real. We get real with each other. And for some of you, that's why you don't want to be a part of it. Because you're not ready to be real. You come to church, perhaps, looking really pretty and singing the right songs. You might even be on pitch. Praise God that you're on pitch today. But underneath, you're dying. And you need to tell somebody. You need encouragement on that. You need accountability on that. But that's why you're afraid of community. And that's what Christ is all about. That's what people get a little mixed up about when they talk. I really like this Jesus guy. He saved me from my sin. But don't forget the part where Jesus pulled some people into it, some disciples in, and he flat called them out on issues. He didn't play. He calls him Satan one time. He rebukes him. Why? Because Peter didn't get it. He didn't realize that Jesus was there to save them, to set them free. He wanted to hinder Christ from fulfilling his purpose. We see Jesus meek and mild in that he was, but he's more than that. He calls us into real community where suddenly we have to admit things. I hope that I model that, because I will straight up admit some stuff up here. I will tell you things you're like, I don't know if I can follow that pastor because he is clearly messed up, right? But I do that on purpose because I want you to know that it's okay to be human and it's okay to admit sin because I need accountability just like you do. That's what real community looks like. And it's all around what we're going to talk about this morning. Perhaps the most important devotion of all is that we would have a shared faith, that we would have a faith surrounded by the gospel of Jesus. And that's what community groups are about. That's what church is about. That's why we do what we do. So we can get together and praise Christ for who he is and admit to him our faults and hold each other accountable and lift each other up. That's why we do this thing called church. That's why we've always done it for thousands of years, so that we could have a shared faith together. Are y'all ready to be a part of a real community? Like, really, not a pseudo community more. It's cool. I like that dark blue, but I like Jesus a lot more. And I want to be a part of what God's doing in my community in a real way. So that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in the book of Acts. And the writer of Acts is a man named Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. But Acts is like the story of the church, and that's where he's going to dig in today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, at verse 42. And this should be very familiar to you if you've been in our community groups for very long. Hopefully you've borderline got this memorized. But here we go. We're picking up at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved." God bless the reading of His Word. Amen. That is an amazing picture of what church should look like. And I think we see glimpses of that when we start to aim our church at that. When we start to say, we're going to be the kind of church that is with each other, that is sharing not only the love of Christ, but sharing everything. Then we start to get at what church really looks like. And boy, is that hard. That is a hard transition, especially in our culture. The kind of culture where most of us really, if we're honest, we want to be able, when we get home from work, to hit a button so that garage door will lift, pull in, hit a button, and let it shut. Because I do not want to talk to my neighbor on the right. Oh my gosh, she's going to tell me about my dogs getting out again or whatever. That's who we are. That's who we are. We pull in. And then we come in the house, and if you have children, you recognize there's no such thing as a chaosless house. You don't even have to have kids to have this. There's a family back there on the back row. You got a lot of people in that big yellow house. That's chaos, right? You can't find a chaosless place because the chaos is in here, right? So we're oftentimes trying to avoid community, but that's not the early church. They seem to enjoy being together. Isn't that a crazy thought that we as a church would actually like being with one another? When I see you guys in the grocery store, I want to say, hey, like Forrest Gump, like, hey, I'm okay with that, but it might weird you out. I'm okay with that too. That's the kind of community I want to have, where I know you from a place that's really deep and dear to my heart, that we're part of a community of Christ together. That's what church should look like. Not that we would, oh my gosh, there's Marcus, and he looks like he's buying a lot of vegetables. I don't like vegetables. And that would not be fact. You'd be in that meat aisle just slobbering. But yeah, that's what we hear, though, isn't it? Maybe you experience that. Maybe you've been a part of churches where, oh my gosh, did you hear about such and such? Let's avoid him in that aisle. Yeah, we go to the same church, but that's not okay. What would it look like to have a church that loves one another? Even when we're not alike. And guess what? We're not alike. I'm so different from a lot of you, but that's okay. Because you're going to mold me and help me to be something that I'm not. And help me to encourage me. And because I've got broken spots that I need help. I might take them and think, well, this is what makes me great. But no, it's not. And you might feel that way too. This is the one. But we're okay with that. That's what church has been like for a long time. That sometimes people who don't have that confession of faith come in and go, what are these people singing about? What's so wonderful? That's okay. That's an uncomfortable spot they need to sit. But if you've been lying to yourself for a while and coming to church maybe for many years of your life and you've never truly had this same confession, now is the time, friend. Now. What are you waiting on? Share the same confession. This is what makes us whole with Jesus, but also a community of believers. This first word here is they devoted themselves. Devoted is this word. It's a strange Greek word. It means to face towards, like an emphatic face towards something, to earnestly attend to it, to adhere to it. So it's this idea that really should speak to each and every one of us, that we're going through life just marching along. I'm about my career, I'm about my family, but devotion is this idea that I would turn and face the Lord. That I would, perhaps the things I was doing were close to lining up, but the longer you do them, the more they separate. So now what instead I'm going to do is my devotion to be devoted means I'm going to line up. I'm going to devote myself, what first? The apostles' teaching. The teaching. This idea that I would come under this confession of faith. And what is that? I mention this a lot, but this is one of my favorite verses. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a confession of faith. Jesus is Lord. God raised Him from the dead. I believe, first of all, He is the King of all things, and I believe that He has power in the resurrection. Those are two big confessions. And it goes on to say, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. It's okay, church, to believe it and to let people know you believe it. That's what makes us a community of believers. That's what helps us share. And we share that one faith together. Ephesians chapter 4 says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See the oneness that we're called into, one body, which means right now there's a whole lot of other churches happening right here in Rocky Mount. There's a whole lot of churches happening in Wilson and all parts of North Carolina, all over the world. But those who believe in Christ are one body. It's not a competition. We're all serving together. We're all worshiping Him this morning. Man, when you think about that, just the fantastic nature of what's happening right now all over the world, millions of people praising God, shouting for His glory. And that's what heaven looks like. That we'll do that for eternity together. I can't wait to meet all these people with all these different stories. That's community. One shared faith. It cost a lot to get us there. It cost Christ on the cross. But it costs us something to join that. There's a nature here. There's a part to this that we're called to be citizens. We're called, as Nathan put it, we're called to be sons and daughters in his family. He's called us friend when we follow Him, but it's more than that. We're more than just friends. We're His kids. We're called to be princes and princesses in His kingdom. But that takes a commitment on our part, a confession, a shared confession. It's kind of similar to this, and I just wanted to, this came to my mind in my study, was I had often heard that in order to become a citizen here in the United States, it was pretty difficult. I don't think anyone in here has experienced that, right? I got all natural born folks in here, a bunch of Americans up in here. But I've heard this process. You were shaking like this. You're the most American person I've ever talked to. You don't look it, but boy. I've heard this process is difficult. When I dug in, man, it's strenuous. A lot of us might not become citizens if we had to go through this process. We're lucky we were born here, to be honest with you. But it's a several components to this thing, and it's a rigorous interview they have to go through. They have to take tests on English and reading and writing and civics. Some of y'all, just the word civics makes you go, ugh. And politics, they have to actually know stuff that's in the Constitution. Some of us can't spell Constitution. So they go through this long process. And look at this oath. I just wanted to share this with you because I find this amazing. This is the oath of citizenship that they take. They say this, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen. There's some big words, y'all. That I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law. That I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law. That I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law. And that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. An acknowledgement whereof I have hereunto affixed my signature. That's a big... I'm going to join these people that I wasn't born a part of, and I will serve them by bearing arms, in fact, by serving the military, and these kinds of things. I mean, that's a deep allegiance. This is what people, and they want this, right? Because still this is a place that most people want to live. It's not so different to pledge this sort of allegiance to the Lord. And I just want to share with you something that I would encourage you to lock in your minds. We're going to actually sing a little bit of this here soon after the service, and I think that'll be helpful. But there's this thing called the Apostles' Creed. And I just love the old Latin for this, the Symbolum Apostolorum. You'll sound really smart if you remember that. Here's the Symbolum Apostolorum. But this is a creed that these people memorized together so that they could defend their faith, so that they could link arms in arms in a time when Christianity was heavily persecuted. It's still this way around the rest of the world. We just don't experience it that much. Not in a real way like some do. But this is something we can lock arms around. This is a citizenship of heaven kind of commitment. Just, if you will, if you want to, read along with me the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's the same confession. There's a lot there in that paragraph. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It talks of the Trinity. It talks of the resurrection. It talks of the cross. This is something the apostles linked arms around and said, this is who we are, and we won't let anything shatter this in us. Do you share that same confession this morning, church? Do you share that same confession? Then you're part of a body of Christ that has existed since Christ was crucified. 2,000 years. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You want to be a citizen of heaven. You want to be a part of community. It starts here. So I start here so that way you can do a check. Do a check this morning and say, is this who I am? Is this the confession I make? And do I live this out? Is this how I function in life, believing God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what that does and impacts in my life? Then you're a part of this community. Number two, share the same passion. Share the same passion. Share the same confession. Share the same passion. Here's the struggle bus for most of us, and we're driving this struggle bus, okay? Yes, I believe. I come to church, and I believe in the Apostles' Creed. I never say it quite like that because, wow, that was sophisticated, but that's what I believe. But Mondays, I'm really tired. Tuesdays, I'm a little tired too. You know what? I'm just tired a lot of days, Jonathan. Just I'm letting you know I'm tired and I work hard. And Sunday mornings, you got that though. Sunday mornings, Apostles' Creed, yes. But you know how long that's going to last? Boy, that ain't going to last long. Those Sundays are going to get shorter and shorter before you know what? You're going to drag in here and we're going to know. You can't hide it anymore. What would it look like to be passionate? It's one thing to confess it. It's a whole other thing to surround your life around it. To now have a passion for it, an obsession with it. This is my devotion. I have faced everything I do around it. My career, my family, everything I love is wrapped around this thing called the confession, the gospel that I share with so many believers. We would be devoted to this teaching. The teaching here is a doctrine, it's an instruction. And notice that they devoted themselves. If you look at verse 42, it's a group of people together devoted to God's Word, sharing the same passion. Has anyone in here ever experienced that? Hopefully you've experienced it recently. Experienced having a passion for the Word with some other people. You might have experienced your own personal passion. But it's a unique thing to find a group of people huddled together going, man, I love what the Lord is saying here and what that does in my life. Those of you who have been on one of our women's retreats, one of our men's retreats, you may have felt that there. Perhaps you feel this in your community group. Boy, I hope and pray so. It may not happen every time, but I hope it happens sometimes where you just get on a topic and you go, man, we're all struggling with this, but how much is God good in this? and you surround, you have that passion. You can't really experience that on your own. That's why we're called into community. Yes, you have these revelations and these amazing moments with the Lord Jesus, but when you go on mission in a community, man, you can change the world. So much can happen in that. And we struggle, if you're like me, you struggle to be a part of a community because that doesn't happen every time. But sometimes you just gotta hunker down. I'm not enjoying it as much this time, but what if maybe community isn't about me? What if the fact that Christ has called us to devote ourselves to the teaching as a group is not so much about what I like and what I need, but more about what Christ is doing and more about what He's called me into? Here's what I've noticed, church. You might feel like I'm going off on a tangent, but I feel like Jesus doesn't always ask me to do things I like. If Jesus always asks you to do things you like, then praise God, you're so lucky. You know what He does to me? He tells me things, and I know they're from Him because I don't think like this. I'll say something I shouldn't have said to my wife, or I'll feel a certain thing for one of my children, or I'll say something to one of you guys, and this voice will hit my head that goes, "That won't right. You need to apologize." Do you know how much I want to apologize? Like never. I hate apologizing. You might be like me. Most of you are. I've not had a kid yet that likes apologizing. They don't come out like that. This thing hits me. And sometimes the Lord, He says, "You know what? I want you to go on a mission trip this year." You know how much I don't want to do that? I like going home and doing nothing. My best job, I think, would be find a couch and become that couch. I could do that job so well. But that's not what the Lord does. That's not what the Spirit does. He moves. He stirs my heart. He says, "You know, go plant a church in Rocky Mount." He says, "You know, go on a mission trip somewhere." He says, "Raise money." It's not fun to raise money asking people, "Hey, I want to do this. I know you don't totally get it." I mean, that's not fun. And what does He do in community? He says, "I want you to devote yourselves to teaching, to prayer, to fellowship." Some of you, the word fellowship is like, ugh, you don't want to do it because you're a super introvert like me. And you know what happens in a lot of our community groups? Because we keep attracting these people that have so many children like me. And you can't hear anything because the kids are on crack. They're all high strung and they're all back here right now. I don't know how these teachers do it. I can't hear anything. It's amazing. And these walls are not that good, y'all. I'm just telling you. They're pulling the magic. But this don't happen on small group night. Small group night, it's like, and everybody's throwing things, and He hit me, and oh my Lord, and that's community. Because it's not all about me. It's not. You know what is, though? Whether or not I'm going to have a passion for it. Whether or not I'm going to take it seriously. Christ certainly did. It's in the Word of God. They got together way more than we do. We complain, "Oh my gosh, I got to go to church on Sunday and I got to go to small group on Tuesday nights." They did this day by day. Whoa, they liked each other. Or did they? Maybe there was friction, but they committed to it because it's not about you. Good. Friction. Have the same passion. It starts here. It starts with you personally. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, study. This is some good stuff in the King James. Get ready. Buckle up. Study to show thyself. I think that's show. Show thyself approved unto God. Shew thyself. It means show, though. I've looked it up. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. It starts the passion for God's word. You got to start there. Studying yourself, is it in you? Get it in you. James chapter 1 then tells us also in verse 22, don't merely listen to God's word, but do what it says. Are you a student of the word of God? Are you studying it? And then furthermore, are you doing it? Are you living it out? That's passion. Passion is the kind of thing where you go home and you keep doing research. Passion is the kind of thing where you live it out. When you're passionate about sports or something, when I was growing up, I liked a lot of different sports, but I really loved football. I wasn't that good. I was kind of undersized, but I loved it. You know what I did? You know what that made me do? Summer times, I would lift weights because I was weak and I wanted to be strong. So I would work out. And I would play Madden with my friends, and I was the weirdo that was like, I got to think about these plays. I need to understand this so I can better understand football. And you get this too. Even if football isn't your thing, there's something you're passionate about that I don't have to tell you to do it. You do it because you love it. Food, yeah. We're all passionate about food, brother. We all got a little foodie in us. But you dig down in, you do research, and you find out more. I don't have to tell you, go home and Google this, y'all, so you can learn more. When you find that kind of passion for God's Word, I don't have to tell you to do it. You start digging in. And once you have those moments with the Lord where you feel Him speaking, where you see Him in His Word, no one has to tell you to go there again. You know it's there. You might get hung up. You might get a little sidetracked. Study and do it. Don't just listen. Delight in it. Look at Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. When you find delight there, you go in day, night, midday. Oh my goodness, I'm sitting at work and I am listening to God's Word. You might have the luxury of that kind of job. What's stopping you? You got a long commute? Rather than rage against the machine on the way to work, which might get you in a certain kind of mood. And no hatred there. I enjoyed them as a young man, but maybe something different. Maybe the gospel. You think I'm crazy, and you might think, man, I can't stand K-Love or whatever. I'm not a big fan of K-Love, but I like some other things. I'll listen to a podcast. I'll listen to someone teach. And I promise you, it will set a different pace to your day. Promise. I found this out for myself. I was commuting back and forth when we were living in Raleigh, and I'd have to come to staff here or Wake Forest, and I'd have to make these commutes. And when I would listen to certain things on the way here, I would just be uptight. It's funny how the Word of God works, how if the more you delight in it, the more you put it in you, the more it starts to impact the way you think, the way you move. Are you getting this, church? If you don't believe this yet, do me this small favor. Just try it. If you don't believe that just getting into God's Word and trying to apply it to your life, if you don't believe that this does something yet, just try it for like 6 days. You can come back next Sunday and tell me about it. I'm not afraid. Test that. Good luck not letting it affect you. Get in the Word. Share the same passion. And all of this is done in a corporate way too. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanks for thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is why we do church. It's so we can get together, encourage, admonish, sing psalms and hymns together, have thanksgiving for God. This has been happening since the first century church. Praise God for that. Nothing should ever change. We're going to be doing this for a long time. Those of us who believe in Jesus, this is eternity, is praising Him together. That's church. Now, we're really passionate about our basic needs. And I think that's the transition we have to make as believers, is to see Christ and His Word and prayer and these four devotions as basic needs. If we can make that transition, we'll become the church that Christ intended. We have a few basic needs that I don't have to help you guys with. The traditional ones are what? Food, shelter, clothing. Those are those basic needs. And you have great passion for those. I don't have to work too hard to find out that someone in here really loves steak or really loves... I love steak, y'all. Man, I do. I love certain desserts. I have a dessert problem. I love ice cream too, man. I love ice cream. Cold things. Is anybody weird like me? I just want something cold sometimes. Why do I want something cold? I'll eat cereal at like midnight because it's cold with milk, right? Got to have the milk for the coldness. Strange. But we have no problem. We have passion about food. And we have passion about foods we hate. Oh my Lord. Get some of y'all started about some foods you hate. Can't shut you down. And you get passionate about our homes, our basic needs of shelter. Ask a new home buyer. Here's a new home buyer. I'm a new home buyer. Ask me about my house. I'll tell you a laundry list of things I've been doing and things I've been thinking and all my fears and, oh my goodness, I couldn't get this room painted. And homebuyers. Or ask some old homebuyer that's been working on their house for 30 years. Yeah, come back here, look at this, I put this on, I did this. Passion. You don't have to work on it. Clothing. Some of y'all look right nice today. You're passionate about your clothing. You don't play with that. Aiden, you normally, you come in here, you know, things are gussied up, man. You're passionate about your clothing, right? Am I wrong? You like to look good. You like to look a certain way. It's how we are. We're passionate about that. What would it look like if we were passionate like that about the teaching of God's Word? Amen. 3 meals a day, I got to have. Some of you need a lot more than that. Sometimes I do too. And that midnight ice cream snack, what if the Word was like that to me? Well, it should be. It should be. This is what Peter says it's like. If you've ever had a newborn, they're very passionate about their food. You don't have to watch them long to realize, give that baby milk or we're all going to die. They'll kill everybody in this church. I saw little babies back there. Y'all have been keeping that baby fed. Otherwise, he would kill us all. Right? Got to give him the milk. And this is what Peter says. He says, 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's what it means to have delight, to have passion. It's like food. Do you have that kind of passion for God's Word? When you get a group of people together that have that kind of passion, wow, you'll feel the Spirit move. Here's the third, and I do need to get here. Share the same submission. Share the same submission. This is, if passion was hard, submission is devastatingly hard for some. They devoted themselves to the teaching, but what kind of teaching? The apostles' teaching. Not just any teaching, not just any wayward teaching, but the teaching of God's Word and the people who were teaching it. These guys like Paul and Peter and John and the disciples who continued to follow Christ before many of them were martyred, they continued to devote themselves to that teaching. Much of the Bible was not yet written for these early apostles and disciples. It wasn't written yet, these early followers. So they had to listen intently. They devoted themselves. But we've got the glory, the wonder of the Bible. Praise God for that. I don't have to get up here and just try to recollect something. No, I can go directly to the Word and you can trust that. But you're submitting beyond that. You're submitting not only to the teaching of God's Word, but if you find yourself in this place, I hope it's because you trust that what is being taught is true. Which means you walk out of this place saying, I heard from God's Word and I heard how it was applied and I'm going to apply it to my life. That's submission. And that terrifies me. I just want you to know that, church. As a pastor, that terrifies me. Not only do I feel young, but sometimes inadequate and very broken. So I spend extra time in here going, please, Lord, let them have something from you, not from me. So that you can walk out of this place submitting to the apostles' teaching and not some crazy thing I've said. Submit to the apostles' teaching. Real community is about this. This is what real community is. It's saying we share the same faith. We're around the confession. We're passionate about it. And we're submitting our lives to it. So that when I come visit you at your workplace, I will see you living the way I live. The way Aaron lives. The way that Marcus lives. The way Paul lives. We're all living according to our passion, which our passion is in God's Word. And there's no change. I don't come to your workplace and go, holy cow, do you know everybody can't stand you? Do you know why? It's because you're a jerk. Shouldn't happen. Not when your confession and passion is in the Word of God. Now, if people don't like you as much because you're passionate about God's Word, that happens. But it doesn't happen as much as the other. Well, that guy's just, I can't stand that guy. It's okay to not be a punk. You know, God needs to work that out in you. Paul says, I don't want anything to distract others except for my boasting in the Christ and the cross. I don't want anything else. I don't want people to find, oh, this is Paul the Pharisee. Paul the... I don't want that part is what Paul says. I want them to know that I stand for the cross. And if that offends them, I can't help that. But some of you are just downright offensive. And it has nothing to do with the cross. This is not what community is about. Community is about submitting under that authority. Just a challenge to you. It's a challenge to me. This is the scary thing about being a pastor, y'all. And here's what all of you should feel. I shouldn't be the only one feeling this way. When I go into a grocery store, I'm Pastor Jonathan. And I cannot be mean to the lady behind the counter when she miscounts something. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It just doesn't. What matters is that what comes out of my mouth does not offend her away from the gospel. And you, if you think I'm the only one that should be dealing with this, you've missed it. Because we're all called to be ministers of the gospel. So where you go, you carry the cross of Christ. And so when such and such gets it wrong, and such is going to get it wrong in your life, some poor little waitress is going to bring you the wrong food. Why does that happen? Lord knows. Maybe it's a test on you to see who you're going to be. Somebody's mad at me, and that's okay. Somebody's going to be mad at me when they walk out of here. This isn't false. The truth is, let nothing offend except the cross. Not you, not your own personal qualms. Oh my goodness, I can't believe they put cheese on this. You drive up to McDonald's. If you've ever been to a McDonald's here in this town, I don't know how McDonald's are in the rest of the world, but in this town, those people are not happy. They aren't pleased because everybody that's come through there has had something wrong, perhaps. And they're like, I can't believe. You know what I do? Just say, thank you. And I try to smile. And I'm like, and sometimes they just act like they've just, somebody's just died back there. Somebody has died in the kitchen. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. I want this person to see the light of Jesus in me today. And yeah, they might just flat out give me the wrong drink. Whatever. Maybe I needed Mellow Yellow today instead of Coke. I don't know. Sure. Why not? I hope that helps somebody today. Because that is a real thing. Some of you are, the offense that you're causing is not the cross. It's you. Submit to this. Submit to the apostles' teaching. And that will rework. That will change your heart. That will change the way you live. Have a passion for His Word. Submit to His authority. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. It says, obey your leaders. Submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that will be of no advantage to you. Submit to those teachers. Submit to this authority in God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus, by His authority. Submission is at the heart of Christianity. And we hate that word, but submit. Have this confession. Have this passion. Submit. It's at the heart. Choosing to place the authority in our lives in something else other than ourselves. The Word of God. That's where it starts. I will submit to that. I judge success not by my standard anymore, but by His. No longer does what I thought success looked like matter. I'm submitting to His authority. We sometimes pretend like we're little ants trying to run the world while the king is away. And we build these little ant hills, and I do it too. And we store up things for winter. But the king isn't away. Some people missed it. The king was disguised the first time he came, disguised by flesh and on a painful sacrificial mission. But it ain't going to be that way next time. And I love for him to catch me passionate for his word, submitting to its authority. And I pray for you that that's your goal. That's your purpose. It's that same confession. And if we would do that together, we would truly understand what it means to be a church. Not just in this place, but throughout the week when we see each other. If you're not a part of a community group, I would say do it. I don't always like it. I'm an introvert. I don't like the chaos. But you know why I do it? Because things happen that mature me. And sometimes I'm there to help others mature. As iron sharpens iron, we sharpen one another. And it doesn't always feel good. I don't always like it. I'll walk out of small groups with a headache sometimes. I mean, literally. Because we have a lot of children. We just do. My head hurts. Or maybe the people cooked something I'm not used to. But we have to do this with one another. The offense isn't, I don't want the offense to be me. I want it to be the cross. So if there's a moment of accountability in that group together, I want it to be surrounded by the Word of God, not by something I think or how I feel. It's going to take a little growing up, church, for us to live this out. I think that's what I'm getting at. It's going to take a little bit less selfishness. It's like family. We're going to talk about that next week, what it means to have a shared family. But that's what it looks like to be a good, authentic, godly family, is that there's a little bit less of you going on and a little bit more of you caring about others and having compassion. And that's what's hard about church. What's hard about church is that you got to step back and say, okay, what do I need to learn in this, God? And how are you shaping me to help others? That should be your goal as a parent, as a husband, and certainly as a believer in Christ. That's a shameless plug today. Get involved in a community group, not because you think you're going to like it, because you might not like it every week. You know what? I'd rather tell you the truth. Some weeks, it's tough. Some weeks, our group gets together, and some of you have been in groups with me, and I've been to most of the groups that meet in this church. It's crazy, and it's chaos. And sometimes people say stuff that you flat out don't agree with. And you get to take that moment to go, well, I think God's word really intends this. And you might have a little bit of a debate in small group. Oh, some friction. But then maybe you grow. Maybe they grow. Maybe there's that brief moment where, oh man, me and James are fighting. I don't know how it's going to go with small group tonight. There's been friction. If you want a little friction, James will provide it. A lot of you will, not just James. There's some friction to be had in this church. But hopefully it's surrounded by God's word, right? I love you, James. Get involved. Be a part of it. Be more involved in this church, not just with your words, but with your passion. I hope to see you guys throughout my life this week. Isn't that going to be cool? I hope we bump into each other somewhere so you can see me hopefully being a minister of God just like you are. I hope that's what we see. Oh my goodness. We're getting veggies together, Marcus. Woohoo! Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, thank you for, first of all, for who you are. That you're the God who saves. You're the God who first loves us enough to create. You're a God who looked and said, I just feel like creating, and I want to make a people who would get to know me and enjoy me and get to be a part of what I'm doing. Wow, what wonder there is in that, Lord. I'm just thankful you're the kind of God that desired us, that you would want a people, even though you knew ahead of time we would be broken, and we would make mistakes. You knew that, but you were still willing to create because you desired us. Thank you, Lord. And more than that you had a plan all along. You created with the knowledge that you would save. That's some kind of amazing love there, Lord Jesus, that you created and then sent your son and saved. Wow. We as a church just want to be grateful for that first today. You set us free, that we could have the same confession, that we could have a shared faith, something to surround our lives around, something that we could have a community around that actually has real eternal meaning. We've been searching for that our whole life. Thank you that we can have that in you, that because of the gospel, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, we can have a belief that centers us on the divine, on the creation, on the creator, on the cross, on the crucifixion. Lord, just thank you for that. Help us as a church. We recognize our own inability to really follow you, and certainly our own selfishness and our own desires and our own truly getting in our own way. Help us, Lord, to live this community that you've called us to. You call us first into right relationship with you. You set us free from sin, but then you call us into right relationship with others that we can have a community around this faith. Lord, help us. Sometimes we don't like each other. Truly, Lord, sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we just don't get along. We experience that in our families growing up. We've experienced that with friends in school and throughout our lives. We've just simply bumped heads with certain people. But Lord, you've called us as a church to have authentic community. And Lord, I pray that friction that we sometimes feel will cause maturity and growth and cause us to be more like you, Lord Jesus. instead of angry or these other emotions that we may feel, but rather we will be more Christ-like as a result of our brothers and sisters in this church. Help us, Lord, to truly live that out. Help us to be committed to community like none other, that I don't have to be the spokesman for that, but we're all desiring that community, that kind of community that we recognize could change this community here in Rocky Mount, that could change the city, that could change this state, that could change our world if we would just be the church you've called us to be. Help us, Lord. Empower us. Remind us daily of what that should look like, that we would be sharing and giving and sacrificial, that we would be devoted to your word. Lord, I'm praying for someone this week that you will speak strongly to them in your word, that the apostles' teaching will be a reality for them this week. Maybe they've never dove in there before. They've always heard it, yeah, you should be in your word, you should have a time of devotion. And maybe they've always thought, yeah, that's for someone else. I just pray this week they'll give it a shot. You'll call them out. Just impress that on their life, that they would say, all right, I will try this. And Lord, I pray that you will speak boldly to them in that. That word, as you say, will not return void. That they will feel and impact their life. Help each and every one of us to be devoted to your word this week and to do it. That it'll be the mark of our lives. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.